You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
A man!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport.
What in the wide world of sports is going on here?
Yeah, draft day, Johnny Manziel. 5 years later, how am I the man still? Draft day, A. Wiggins. Fuck that other side, bitch, we stay winning. Oh, man, you know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Yeah, suits and ties yelling out, pay the guys, man, I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. You know I had to do it for you. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, man, you know I had to.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network, which is probably a good thing considering what went down at a major network this week. We're not going to talk about that.
Too soon.
Too soon, brother, but... I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and I am joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. Yes, I watched an entire episode of WCW Monday Nitro, but I live to tell the tale. Vanderberg, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I am doing good, my friend, and I guess the listeners want to know, those that checked out Keeper 2000 this week, have you recovered from your journey back in time?
Barely. I mean, the question is, are you continuing to, I guess, regret this decision? I mean, do you want to quit? It only gets worse, right?
Yeah, well, it gets worse, but by getting worse, I think it gets better. Because we've got Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff coming back. We've got David Arquette as world champion. And we've got a Battle Dome invasion, a crossover story coming. So, it gets worse, but it gets more interesting, if that makes sense.
Oof.
Yeah. Like, there's no shortage of stuff to talk about.
That is true. That is true.
Like Raw, because somebody asked me about this the other week. Like, would I rather do this or would I rather go back to reviewing TNA Impact? And I'd much rather review the Nitros because I think the Impacts are better shows, but they're boring. Whereas with this, like, I know they're bad, but at least there's, like the show we did. Like, you know, where else am I going to see Bam Bam Bigelow do a swan dive?
Don't forget the chicken now.
And the raw chicken, yes. And Ahmed Johnson wearing pink polo.
And who was it? The dog? Yeah, all right.
Yeah, Al Green is the dog. Yeah, so much terrible. And Mark Madden. Like, there's so much terrible stuff packed into those shows. So, yeah, at least I'm not bored, is what I will say when it comes to Keep It 2000. But that's not the show we're doing this week, Marcus. We are doing the Kings of Sport, and this is a Royal Rant edition. We are fresh off of the 2017 edition of the NFL Draft, so that'll take up the bulk of our conversation this week. We're also going to get into the NBA playoffs, which are still going on, and will be going on for a while.
Forever.
Forever and ever. Like Andre 3000 looking at the NBA playoffs forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Yes, that's how long the NBA playoffs last. So we got a lot to get to this week. But before we touch on any of that, brother, you know, we were talking. You wanted to share with me and the listeners. So the floor is yours, brother.
Yes. So as you might have seen by now, we and by we I mean Yahoo, did a video with BD Langston. He is on, I guess, vacation while Kofi's out with his surgery. So he was told he had this time off, and as he explained, he did not want to sit at home in Tampa and really do nothing. He doesn't do well sitting home. So he decided to come to LA and do a bunch of stuff. And while he was out here, he talked to Enzo, and Enzo gave him the idea of, hey, how about you marry some people? So why Enzo suggests this, who knows? But Big E got his marriage license online, as you can do pretty easily, and sent out a tweet, I guess it was now almost 3 weeks ago, sent out a tweet explaining, hey, I'm going to be in LA. If you want to get married by Big E, shoot me an email. And I saw the tweet, and I figured, hey, I don't know if this is actually going to happen, but let me just email him just in case to see if he wants to make a video out of this. So I dropped him a line and didn't hear anything for about a week. And on Easter morning, I got a text from a number I didn't recognize. Mm-hmm. And he said, he gave us his government name. And he said, this is AKA Big E. I saw your email and I'm intrigued by your offer to shoot this. I just need to clear it by the couple and I'll let you know. And I said, oh, okay. So I made this offer without, you know, I just clearing this by my video team first. So I let them know, hey, video team, I volunteered you to do some work. And they were down for it. So like a day later, he hit me back and said, all good. The couple was down and they want to do it. So this was on a Monday. The wedding was that Friday. So we got everything set up on our end. I talked to the groom, who is a lifelong wrestling fan, who was excited about this whole thing. And that Friday, we met at Grand Park in downtown. And we got there probably about 45 minutes early. And we were getting all set up. And around 6 o'clock, I found the groom, and we were supposed to meet Big E down at Starbucks, which was like down the hill from this park. And I said, well, I'll go down and grab him if he's there. So I walked in at 6 p.m. and he's sitting there by himself in a suit.
That was just the first time you met him in person?
First time I met him in person, yeah. And he's probably wondering, where is everybody? And I said, hey, Big E, you know, Marcus Miyahu. And I said, you know, the rest of the party's up the hill. I'll take you up there. And I took him up, and super nice guy, super accommodating. He probably spent 90 minutes of our foolishness in terms of filming and all that stuff. So, okay. Yeah, came alone, came by himself. Basically, I mean, you know, just wanted to, I just fit in. And there was probably 20 people there, I would say, mostly family and coworkers and friends of the bride and groom. And what I was expecting was people to walk by and say, hey, that's Big E. And then they stop and then they, you know, try to disturb the wedding. But no one noticed, or at least no one noticed and actually stopped and made a scene, which was good. So the cool part was they created this banner, and it was called Wedding Mania at the top. And it had like the unicorn. It looked very much like a New Day t-shirt, like the unicorn. What color would you call that? Is it like a bluish green?
It's like an aquamarine almost.
Yeah. It was that color. It was very cool. And he was very touched by the fact that they got this banner made on short notice. The couple, Joseph and Brisa, were super cool, from LA, and have been to the last 5 WrestleManias, including this past one.
Okay, because see that the picture, and you know, when we talked about it earlier, I was like, you know, I get that he's into it. I was wondering how into it she was.
She's into it. She had the authentic women's championship belt, which he wore during the ceremony. He wore a classic Bret Hart jacket. The Bret Hart jacket had to be from like the 90s. It looked like it was legit. But yeah, he's still into it more because it was, you know, Joseph brought it to Brisa and suggested it, and she was down. But she's a fan herself, so yeah.
So I guess the biggest question though for the listeners is Marcus Vandenberg. If you knew that Reverend Big E was available when you and your wife were getting married, do you think there's any way you could have talked her into that?
Oh, zero chance.
but she watches. She's a fan.
Zero.
What? Well, let's see. Maybe not Big E, but what if somebody on Total Divas?
Nope. I even tossed that name out. Zero chance.
So if Daniel Bryan had his marriage license, no chance?
Not even the Bellas.
Damn. Oh, man. So what was the couple's name again?
Joseph and Brisa.
Okay, so shout out to Joseph and Brisa, and may they have many happy years of marriage. And shout out to Big E, Marcus, who, I don't know if you saw Ron Funches speaking of Twitter. Ron Funches, the comedian, went on Twitter the other day, and he was high, as he is wont to do. And when he gets high, he tweets about wrestling, and he was like, have you ever wondered why Big E isn't a world champion yet? I was like, you know what? I'm not mad at that, Ron Funches.
Well, I don't wonder about that because I know the answer.
You know the answer.
Stay woke.
But yeah, it's cool to hear because I like Big E. I like all the New Day guys, and they seem to be genuine people off the camera as well.
Yes. Yeah, he super cool guy. Just took pictures of everyone. Was just chatting with people. Can't say enough nice things about him. So
very cool. So shout out to you, Big E, and shout out to Marcus Vandenberg for promoting love in the world.
I try.
And I know it's off brand, Marcus, but it's not Petty V. But you know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you gotta be nice. Sometimes.
Sometimes. But now is not the time to be nice, though, Marcus, because it is.
Uh-oh.
Time to talk about the NFL draft. The 2017 NFL draft that took place, ironically enough, coming off of our last story, in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. First of all, what did you think about the Philly fans and the way this three-day event was kind of made for television?
I thought it was amazing, to be honest.
Best one yet?
Yeah, easily. I mean, the atmosphere alone. The first night, it's hard to top that scene of 70,000 people outside of the art museum, and
yeah,
it felt like it felt like Coachella, it felt like a WrestleMania, it felt like a big live show. I have not asked my coworkers who were on site how that, you know, translated in terms of being in person, but from a viewer standpoint, it turned out pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, like I usually am kind of bored by the actual draft itself as a TV show, but this year it definitely was. You could tell the difference in the energy and the atmosphere, and as far as a viewing experience, I thought this was probably one of the better ones.
I would assume they're going back next year. They did 2 years in Chicago. I would assume they do 2 years in Philly.
I would, especially after the way that the crowd stepped up this week, like you would think they'd have to go back for that atmosphere.
Yeah, which so that would make it 2018. So 2019, I would assume they would do Los Angeles with the new stadium opening.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Real quick, I'll run through the top 10 picks, and then we can kind of get into some questions and answers. Cleveland Browns selected first. They picked Myles Garrett from Texas A&M. And what I thought was the biggest surprise of the draft, the Bears. the Bears went bear. That bear didn't go crazy. That bear went bear. And they picked up Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina, and I have thoughts, people. At number three, the 49ers picked up Solomon Thomas from out of Stanford. At pick number four, this was a bit of a surprise to me. Yeah. The Jags picked up Leonard Fournette, the running back from out of LSU. At number five, the Titans picked up Corey Davis, the wide receiver. At number six, Marcus's J-E-T-S, Jets, picked up Jamal Adams from LSU. Real quick, what did you think of that pick?
Safe and boring, just like the Jets.
That was a Todd Bowles, I'm not trying to get fired pick.
Last 9 years of the draft, their first pick, defensive players.
How's that working out for you?
Oh, boy.
At number seven, the Los Angeles Chargers picked up Mike Williams. And I saw a great post from KME, the professor, later on at night. He was like, I don't care how good this dude is, there will never be a great Mike Williams receiver in the NFL.
Oh, come on.
Already throwing shade.
Already.
At number eight, the Panthers. You know, when we talked last week, we thought this might be the spot where Fournette got picked up. But since he was off the board, they went with the next best running back and got Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. Number nine, the Bengals got John Ross, the receiver out of Washington. And at number 10, the Kansas City Chiefs picked up Marcus's boy, quarterback Pat Mahomes.
Traded up for Mr. Mahomes.
Yeah, they traded up. And I'm wondering, Marcus, just out of those first 10 picks, like, was other than Trubisky, which was you know, I want to set him aside because that's going to, you know, we got some meat on that bone. But out of the first 10 picks, other than Trubisky, what were your overall thoughts of kind of the first big group of picks?
I thought the Browns, and we'll talk about the Browns big picture, but I thought they got it right with Myles Garrett. I think the 49ers got it right trading down one spot if the Bears really this dumb to draft a quarterback who started only, 13 games in college at number two, mm-hmm. then at least trade down and get the guy in Solomon Thomas at three. I think Fournette and McCaffrey going to the top eight is interesting. Jacksonville could use a running back like Fournette. I hope it works out for him in Jacksonville. And with the Panthers, they could use another weapon at running back, and I think Chris McCaffrey will fit in well with that offense and with Cam Newton. So I think both of those guys are posed for.
And he's a good receiver too. Yeah. So he's not just a, you know, between the tackles runner.
Yeah. If Fournette's more between the tackles, I'm not sure how he would do in a pro offense that is now relying more on sort of the running back acting as a receiver, but we'll find out. But McCaffrey sort of fits that role right away. And the other pick that sort of has me scratching my head was John Ross going to the Bengals at nine. This feels very Darius Hayward Bay of the Bengals.
Yeah.
They see, oh, he's at a 4-2-2. Let's overreach and take this guy early when I don't see John Ross ever being a number one receiver in the NFL. And if you're going to take a guy at nine, he's got to have that number one upside potential, and I just don't see it with John Ross.
No, I don't either. And I think out of those first 10 picks, I think the pick I might like the most, other than Myles Garrett, because I agree with that one. I think the Browns might have had the best weekend.
Yeah.
Out of any of the teams in the NFL, and I'm glad they didn't pull the trigger on the rumored Kirk Cousins trade, because I don't think that would have solved all their problems. But maybe McCaffrey's the one that intrigues me the most.
In a good way?
In a good way, because I've been so focused on Fournette going to the Panthers that I never considered McCaffrey fitting in there, and he actually might be a better fit than Fournette for that offense.
Yeah, I mean, him and Stewart will probably split time from the jump, I would assume.
Yeah, because Fournette to me is a better Stewart, like a much better Stewart, but still kind of similar in their style.
Yeah.
Whereas McCaffrey brings you that, like we said, that element of, you know, the passing game, you can get outside of tackles. I think I might like that maybe even more than if they had gone and got Fournette.
And, you know, if you have Stewart in the backfield, you can line McCaffrey up better at receiver.
Like already he's probably the third best wide receiver. At worst.
Benjamin, Olsen. Yeah.
It's either Funchess or McCaffrey for that third spot. And who's to say McCaffrey wouldn't be better lined up outside?
Yeah.
Real quick though, before we go back to Trubisky, the other most talked about quarterback in the draft went two spots outside of the top 10 as the Texans picked up Clemson's Deshaun Watson. And I like this pick for the Texans, Marcus, but I'm wondering what you thought about it.
Looking back, I guess, 2 days later? I sort of forgot about this. I'm not sure if that's a good sign or a bad sign, but I don't know if he should be playing right away. But considering their quarterback situation is such a mess in Houston,
yeah,
they might not have a choice.
Ideally, if they had to, you know, running back the clock, running back, you know, to last year, if you had to keep Osweiler another year and suffer through another 6-10 season or worse, I could see, you know, sitting Watson and giving him time to work and you know, hold a clipboard, kind of like Steve McNair when McNair first came into the league. But I mean, is Tom Savage, is he really going to be the guy that holds off Deshaun Watson?
I don't think so. It's sort of remarkable that they went 9-7 last year despite Osweiler at quarterback, which I think says a lot about the Texans defense. So I could see him competing because I think – It won't be Brandon Whedon for sure. So
no. I mean, on paper, Watson is the best quarterback. The only thing he doesn't have that the other guys have is NFL experience.
Yeah, I mean, look at Dak Prescott. There were a lot of if you can't comparing when Dak came out compared to Deshaun Watson, Watson at this point of his career has more upside. So I think Watson might be, you know, capable of winning the job out of camp for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about a guy who is capable of winning the job out of camp, but that's only because it's a terrible, terrible job. And that's your man, Mitch Trubisky, Marcus.
Oh, don't you diss Mike Glennon like that.
Jermaine writes into the show every week on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got his, you know, Chicago talk, whether it's the Cubbies or the Bulls the Bears.
How that Bulls series worked out, huh? Told you, I don't believe in the Bulls.
Well, how bad is it as a Bears fan? Like, you went from Jay Cutler, and Jay Cutler leaves, and you're like, finally, we have a chance to have a good quarterback. And your two options are Mitch Trubisky or Mike damn Glennon.
Three options. You know what option C is, right?
I read it earlier today, but he's so relevant, I forgot his name already.
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that, I mean, you got Mike Glennon, you got Trubisky, and you got the maestro with a butt fumble.
Hey, two-time AFC title game quarterback, Mark Sanchez. He's only 30, guys.
So yeah, Marcus, we talked last week. I wasn't sold on Trubisky going into the draft, and I certainly don't think he should have been the top quarterback off the board, let alone number two overall pick.
No, not if you're going to give Mike Glennon all this money too. What's the point of paying Mike Glennon and then drafting a rookie quarterback? I mean, Glennon's only 27.
Yeah. And also, Marcus, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention this at least once this week. If Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky are out here getting NFL checks and Colin Kaepernick is still unsigned once the season starts. Something's up.
Yeah, he'll get signed eventually.
I hope so. But real quick before we get into, because I got a special draft edition of I Got Five on it I want to throw on you here in a little bit. But real quick, we talked earlier about the Cleveland Browns and how they might have been the biggest winner in the draft, not only picking up Myles Garrett, but also picking up Jabril Peppers from Michigan. And then also David Njoku, the tight end, and DeShone Kizer, which I thought was a pretty suave pick in the second round. Like, do you share my optimism for a franchise that has been very short on optimism?
Their first four picks were very good. They're still the Browns. I don't know. I feel bad for DeShone Kizer, who in his head is better than Deshaun Watson or anyone else in the draft, but it's now stuck.
I mean, Tom Brady's brain in Cam Newton's body, as he told us.
That's right. So I think overall, though, on paper, they did very well for themselves.
I think, though, something crazy is, you know, going into the draft, the whole hype on Trubisky was, you know, he was the Ohio guy. He was Mr. Football and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the talking heads were talking about how it would be such a great story. But nobody was kind of talking about that narrative about Kizer, who is from Ohio.
Well, you already know why.
I didn't want to put it out there, Marcus, but I'm just wondering, can the black guy be the hometown hero? Or does it depend on the hometown?
It depends on the town. Toledo, I don't know.
So Atlanta and D.C., yes. Toledo, no.
Yeah. Well, did he grow up? He was born in Toledo. Let me see if he's actually raised.
I think he went to high school in Ohio.
Okay, let's see here.
And then ended up going to Notre Dame.
Yeah. Central Catholic High School, Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, so he's got just as much a claim to be, you know, the hometown kid as Trubisky.
Well. You know, as Bruce Pritchard would say.
Yes. So let's leave the Browns and let's go to I Got Five on It. And for those new to the program, I throw five questions at Marcus Vandenberg, and he provides the answers. And this week, the theme is the NFL draft, Marcus. So are you ready for question number one?
I'm ready.
Question number one. Which team made the best pick?
Ooh, tough question out the gate. Which team made the best pick?
It could either be an individual pick or it could be a total team draft grade like we talked about with the Browns. But in your mind, who made the most of this NFL draft?
In terms of an individual pick, I'm going to go with the 49ers taking Reuben Foster at 31.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one.
He dropped for a variety of reasons, reportedly. One being that he's got a shoulder issue. But he is, if healthy and if not in trouble, he's a very talented linebacker. And the fact that the Niners got him at 31, that was a steal. And, you know, I was thinking if the Patriots had their pick in the first round, he would be a total Patriots pick.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I'm sure they're kicking themselves a little bit at the fact they didn't have that pick. But the Niners, between adding Foster and Solomon Thomas and at the third overall pick, their defense is legit now, the offense, so.
That's the question.
Yeah, the offense is not great, but defensively, adding those two pieces to their current defense, which was, it's the strength of their team, if they have a strength. That's not a bad haul for the first round.
Okay. Next question. Who is the biggest bust in the 2017 NFL draft? Who will be the most disappointing player? And I will go ahead and throw out. Because kids got talent, but whatever personality issues or character concerns you have, I don't think it's going to be fixed in that locker room.
What was the name? What was the name you tossed out?
Joe Mixon.
Oh. Biggest bust. I don't want to pick on Mr. Trubisky anymore. So.
Did you say Trubisky?
I'm going to let him live. You know what? TJ Watt. Mm. I don't know. I don't want to profile, but when I saw him doing the first round, I was like, oh, really? he's not JJ, but not many people are. I just wonder if he's going to translate into a pro. And to be a first-round pick seemed like a bit of a stretch for me, but maybe I'm profiling. I don't know.
Hey, I don't know if he's going to be a good pro, but shout out to Pops Watt because he put three boys in the NFL.
Three in the NFL.
that is some Hall of Fame caliber seed planting, if you will.
Yeah, between the Watts, the Gronkowskis, the Jones, John's a fucker up. But, well, I guess wasn't Arthur Chandler in trouble too? They had some issues, but they're talented. Yeah.
Let's flip that coin, Marcus, and go with the draft's biggest sleeper.
Biggest sleeper. I saw someone earlier. Let me pull up my list here. What round was I watching when I saw him come off the board? This is how you know the show's never rehearsed, guys. I'm over here looking at my fifth round draft selections. Let's see.
Thought you're gonna go with Mr. Irrelevant. Who was Mr. Irrelevant?
Chad Kelly.
Chad Kelly, from Ole Miss.
Did you see him earlier in the draft? They cut to him and he was like slumped over, asleep on his couch.
Oh.
All right, hold on. I know which team drafted him. Let me just go to that page and find it. All right. I'm going Donnell Pumphrey. San Diego State. He's the all-time leading rusher in college football. He slipped down to the fourth round. And when the Eagles took him, my first thought was, hey, Darren Sproles has a younger, faster replacement. I think they're a team in particular that probably would know how to use him the best way. And Sproles is 34, which is scary to think because I remember when he came out from Kansas State, but he's getting up there in age. So he's a little undersized. That's probably the biggest knock on him. And the fact that he slid to the fourth round, he's only 5'8", 175. But if he can find ways to sort of not get hit, which is important, and not get hurt, I think he could be an interesting pick for the Eagles.
Yeah, to me, I see the Sproles comparison. I also see him maybe as a poor man, C.J. Spiller.
Oh, do you want to compare anyone to C.J. Spiller?
Who, again, like a poor man, C.J. Spiller? Like, I don't know how much that's worth because, again, C.J. Spiller, great college player, but never, like, he... he wasn't terrible in the NFL, but he was just a guy.
He was pretty bad. He's been pretty bad recently.
I think he had a couple years in Buffalo where he was decent.
He was a disappointing pro. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, definitely. Considering his college output, he was very disappointing. And that's the science of the draft, Marcus. You never can tell, which is why question number four I'm posing to you as a Falcons fan. Marcus Vandenberg is somebody who follows the Pac-12. How good is Tack McKinley?
Did you see this boy speech?
With the grandmama picture and everything?
Yeah.
And he was fired up. Like, let's get this damn quarterback.
And he cussed. I mean.
Yes. I like somebody already said, like, between his suit and his daddy's suit and the grandma picture and the cussing, he'll fit right in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But can he play, Marcus? Can he play?
I think he's good.
Did he stand out to you when you watched the UCLA game? Did he jump off the screen?
No, he did not to me personally. He's not a name that I, you know, would remember from the 2016-17 Bruin defense. But that's not to say he's not a bad player. He's just not, at least the games I've watched of the Bruins, he's not a player that stood out. But defensively, I guess you can always use help on the end. I'm trying to think who did, if he could start it right away on that defensive end or defensive line. But I think his, you know, he'll be known until he actually steps on the field and made plays, but he'll be known for that outburst and speech. Well, listen, it came from a good place. It was a touching story. But at the same time, when Deion is trying to talk this man down and he's just going on and cussing.
I think even funnier than the Deion clip was when he was standing next to Roger Goodell.
Oh, yes.
And he's just like, I told him, man. I told him. And I promised this to my grandma. And I told him that I was going to do this. And Roger Goodell's like, yeah, yes, you did. You told him you were going to do it.
Yeah.
Roger's like, who? Somebody get this Negro.
I feel threatened.
He's automatically after the draft. Tack McKinley suspended for 6 games to start the season.
Yeah.
Because Goodell felt nervous.
Yeah. So he's, I'm curious to see how he does with Atlanta.
Yeah, like to me, it felt kind of like a reach, but I guess one of the defensive coordinators or linebackers coaches was at UCLA with McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Dan Quinn, like he is big coming from Seattle on that attacking defense. And we saw what they did with Vic Beasley last year. So I have faith that there's a plan, but it did feel like a reach.
Yeah, decent speed for a big man, 4.59. 40 time. It's not bad.
And again, Beasley takes up so much attention on one side that maybe they'll have a nice little 1-2 punch.
Yeah. He's so good, by the way.
Beasley, yeah. I was surprised by how good he turned out to be. And that leads us to the fifth question, which is always the wild card, Marcus. Now, keen listeners to the show know last year you became this year, there's a new team in town. So are you sticking with your woeful Rams, or will you become Marcus Lightning Bolt Vandenberg?
Looking at this Charger offense, I might have to make the switch. Nothing the Rams did these last few days inspired me to keep rooting for them. Meanwhile, the Chargers added Mike Williams to yep. go with Keenan Allen and Tyrell Williams and Dontrell Inman. And then they also have Melvin Gordon, who, listen, better than Todd early at this point. And they have a quarterback, Philip Rivers. Work. Yeah. I hope they get Woodhead back. I think he's a free agent. But I might have to make the switch. And on defensive side, Joey Bosa, Star?
Yeah. And the uniforms are better.
Uniforms are way better. I think I might have to switch. Now, the only conflict is they're in the AFC. The Jets are in the AFC, but the Jets are so fucking bad this season that I don't think it'll matter much.
And you'd have to root for the Spanos family.
That's true.
They're pretty terrible.
Well, it's not like your man's much better in L.A.
Kroenke?
Yeah.
Stan Kroenke, star of Monday Night Raw that one time?
Yeah, how was that show?
The Kroenke show?
The show they moved, to Staples Center. Which was the last appearance by Mr. Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
He got fired right after that show.
Mm. It's all Kroenke's fault.
Yep.
So yes, if you've learned nothing else from our draft analysis, let it be known that if you're a team and you move to L.A. and you're better than the current team in L.A., Marcus Vandenberg's allegiance is up for grabs.
Now, the only issue with rooting for the Chargers is they're playing in this StubHub stadium, which is a soccer stadium. So getting tickets to actually see the Chargers is going to be tough because the stadium holds, I think, under 30,000.
Oh, wow.
So if you check the resale market already in April, tickets are going for a lot because there's only a limited number of tickets to go around. So I might have to be rooting from afar.
So much going on with
All right, here we go. Week 16, Chargers Jets in New York.
Oh, you might have to make a trip out to New York for that one.
Nah, it's the day before Christmas. I will enjoy that one from the house on Christmas Eve.
All right, so yeah, a lot of going on in L.A. between the Chargers and the Rams and all things draft. I think we'll stay in L.A., though, Marcus, to talk some NBA real quick before we end things off this week, as the playoffs are advancing into the second round, but we still have one first-round game left, and that's the Clippers taking on the resilient, the scrappy Utah Jazz. Game 7 coming up, Marcus. Who you got?
Give me the Clippers. They have the experience despite missing Blake Griffin. I think Chris Paul will step up and lead LA in Game 7. I think they'll win by, I'll say 10.
Okay. I would tend to agree. I think there's the experience factor. There's the home court advantage factor. So, yeah, give me the Clippers. I think it might be a little bit closer, but the Clippers win, and they win the amazing prize of being the the next lamb up at the altar of the Golden State Warriors. This is a different Warriors team, though, Marcus, because we got a black coach.
Mike Brown.
Warriors got a black coach.
Yeah, well... coaches in air quotes. They have a black representative.
He's Steve Kerr's advocate.
Yeah, he's a spokesperson.
Do you think that's going to have any effect whatsoever? Because I don't.
No, not at all. No. Now Kerr's still at these games. He's just not on the sideline. He's still going to practice. So I don't think it'll have a huge impact on them.
I'm just happy for Mike Brown because I honestly didn't know where the dude was, Marcus.
After L.A.?
Yeah, because I don't watch Warrior games because they come on too late for me, even though I'm a night owl. I've got better things to do at my post-midnight hours than watching Warriors games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I never – until the playoffs started, you know, and I'm watching Warriors games on a regular basis, I didn't know Mike Brown was on the bench.
I believe he was a Alvin Gentry replacement when Gentry went to New Orleans.
And they do share some similarities.
They do, because if Mike Brown gets a job off this, he will be with a poor coaching record like Alvin Gentry somewhere.
Yes, he will.
And Luke Walton, yeah.
And Luke Walton, yep.
That Steve Kerr coaching tree. Not doing so hot yet.
Not doing so hot so far. Real quick, let's check out the other matchup in the Western Conference in the semifinal, which we can confirm now. Houston takes on San Antonio, who had a bit of a tougher time with Memphis than most expected. But Spurs and Rockets should be a fun series.
Should be fun. A lot of these games this past regular season were close. I forgot who I picked earlier. I think I picked San Antonio to win. We did our preview.
I think so.
I'm going to stick with the Spurs. I think it might go 7-0.
Yeah, I mean, James Harden and the Rockets look really good against OKC. But, A, I don't think Oklahoma City had the firepower to hang with the Rockets. And, B, they don't play defense like the Spurs do.
Yeah.
So, I think that's going to be a big deciding factor. I'm still waiting for LaMarcus Aldridge to show up, though.
Keep waiting. I don't think anytime soon.
I keep waiting for, like, you know, in the sports movies, Marcus, where, you know, it's the bottom of the ninth or it's the fourth quarter and somebody gives a speech or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking for that Remember the Titans moment where Denzel calls the fake 23 with a backside reverse George. I'm waiting for that moment with LaMarcus Aldridge, like, for him to get inspired, but I don't see it happening.
Maybe in the finals, if they get that far, he'll decide, oh, okay, this is new territory.
Let's go over to the other side of the ledger in the East real quick. Marcus is picked to win the NBA championship, or at least make it to the finals. I think that's what you picked.
Yo, I didn't pick him to win championship. No.
He's real quick on that backpedal.
Yeah.
Marcus is picked to win the East. The Toronto Raptors taking on the Cavaliers, who have been resting for what seems like a month.
Yeah. I am not confident about my pick.
I mean, Indiana did give, even though the Pacers were swept.
That was the worst-looking sweep in recent
memory.
Indiana
gave him some, gave him some causes for concern.
Yeah, that was a suspect sweep. they won the series, but they looked shaky at times.
Mm-hmm.
So, since you mentioned that, if the Raptors didn't pull the upset, they need to split the first two in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And somehow win the next two at home in Toronto, which I think is going to be a long shot for sure.
Yeah.
And I can't see Cleveland losing a game 7 at home. So that means the Raptors would need to win it in 6. So
I don't see that happening.
Raptors in 6.
bold pick for Marcus Vandenberg. I don't know how much he believes it.
Don't let me down, Toronto. You know I love you.
But I think Cleveland wins this. Yes, they look really shaky in terms of defense, but their offense is still clicking. And they also have LeBron James, who can at times, you know, be the most dominant player on the court still. Like, it doesn't happen every night like it used to, but when he needs it, he can pull it out. So I say Cleveland wins this, and I'm going to say Cleveland in 6.
Cleveland in 6. All right. DeMar DeRozan, just saying. Just saying.
Let's go over to the final of our 4 semifinal matchups, and that is the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards, both teams 1-6 games. I am not excited for this series. I don't think it's going to be pretty.
What?
I don't think it's going to be a pretty series.
They don't like each
Marcus.
Other, Nate. Come on, this will be a fun series.
Oh, it'll be chippy. I'm just talking about the basketball. Like, I don't think it's going to be pretty basketball.
Fun. They're fun. They're a fun team to watch. The Celtics
trying to sell me on this Celtics Wizards matchup.
I'm excited for this.
I'm talking about in terms of the quality of basketball. Like, this is not going to be on anybody's tape for how you play the beautiful game.
It's better than the Hawks.
Hey, they gave it their best shot.
Yeah.
They had to overcome having Dwight Howard on this team.
Oh, now Dwight's a problem? That wasn't Dwight.
That's why you trade for Dwight. So when you lose in the playoffs, you have a scapegoat.
Poor Dwight.
He actually wasn't bad in all honesty. He wasn't bad for the Hawks this year.
They're just not great. They're just okay.
They're okay. Like they're a team in transition. Like they've got a couple good players, but you need more than a couple good players.
Yeah.
Like you need at least one or two great players, and they don't have any on that team right now. But do Boston and or Washington?
I am taking the Celtics.
Because I think if you know we're talking about great players, Wall is great and Thomas is great. Other than that, because I'm not sold on Bradley Beal.
No, I think both of those guys are very, very, very good.
You're not even giving John Wall great yet.
No, I'm not giving John Wall great. What has John Wall done? What has he won? The first round? No, I can't give him.
Can't give him great.
I can't give him great. No, the great list should be a short list, so short that he's not on it. So he's not there.
Okay, I see where you're going. He's on that very on that next level underneath great.
He would be like the tier two.
Okay.
Him and Thomas. I am going to. Go with the Celtics still.
Okay.
I'll go six games.
Six games for the Celtics. Yeah. I'll make it interesting. Not that I have any conviction with this whatsoever, but I'll go with the Wizards for the upset. And I'll go Wizards because, again, much like your Cleveland series, I don't think Washington can win a game seven in Boston. So I say Wizards in six.
Okay.
So we're both probably going to be wrong
on
our respective series.
That's right.
Real quick, though, when you talk about Boston, has seeing the way they struggled against the Bulls, does that make them less formidable as a top seed for you?
No, I think you can sort of credit part of that to Isaiah Thomas and what he was going through. And considering they won their last four, they bounced back pretty strong. So... maybe it actually helps them for sort of facing some adversity early and getting some of those losses out of their system. But I don't think it's a bad thing for sure.
I'd agree. So those are your semifinal matchups for the conference semifinals in the NBA, and we'll update our thoughts on the NBA playoffs next week. Particularly if the Clippers get in, because you know, again, we want Clipper Darryl to be happy at least for one more week.
Yeah, then the Warriors will come in and
then it's a wrap.
Sweep.
speaking of a wrap, brother, I think it's going a draft edition of the rant.
I need to go pack for Hawaii, Nate.
Yes, you got to get ready for the hunt for Iakea.
Yes.
So, if the people want to hit you up with thoughts on the draft or the playoffs or burger places in Hawaii, where can they find you?
Social media, Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter, N8, MozAik. Follow the Kings of Sport, KOS_POD, CosPod. Find the show on iTunes, Twitter, iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, all those good places. Subscribe, rate, review, and most importantly, share the show with your friends. Marcus is heading to Hawaii. So next week, we might be talking to Marcus Vandenberg from Beachside.
Oh, you will. Trust me.
Drinking a pina colada.
No, probably not. Probably a beer of some sort. Yeah, probably
maybe
a beer.
Some pineapple infused beer.
There you go. Oh, for sure. Either that or some toner coffee, iced.
Ah, okay. Yes, Marcus will be out in Hawaii, and then we will talk to him as he enjoys the birthplace of allegedly. I think we'll end it there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where we talked about the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, and of course, wrestlers officiating weddings. It's just another week here at the Kings of Sport. So be sure to check back next week as we'll do it all again. And whatever we do, it's going to be a good time. So be sure to check us back here next week, same time, same place, for another edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, B. Sauer. Clap for your newlywed couple and feel the power. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about. Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted. Smile is in the making. You gotta fight the powers that be.